Welcome in to the Thursday edition of Daily Tap. It is March the 1st. This is March. We are here. March Madness is officially started. I don't know how people coin March Madness, if they coin it as it is the start of March, so therefore it is March Madness. If we wait till conference tournament season, with Big Ten's tournament starting today, it started yesterday, but it's in full swing today, full day of games for those who are either unemployed, work from home, the whole kit and caboodle. So that's there. We're going to talk a little bit about the Badgers' chances. Could they shock the world and win the Big Ten tournament and go to the NCAA tournament for the 20th straight year, which would be incredible, would be an amazing story, huge story in Wisconsin and alike. But we will talk about that later. Talk first about the Packers, just all the quotes that we got from Brian Gutekunst and Mike McCarthy from their combine press conferences. I think there were a ton of nuggets, really a lot there to go over, and then talk a little bit about the Bucks and their performance on Wednesday night. It was not a good one. I wrote about it already, Stonetap WI. It's a website, but you know, more talk about just how Milwaukee, you know, is in a little bit of trouble. And I'm not saying like they're screwed, but I looked at that and it was like, wow, they are a one game back. Well, Miami is only one game behind Milwaukee at this point. So before we get started about the Packers, you can find us at Snowtap WI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are also on SoundCloud, Snowtap Network there. Website, Snowtap WI, it is one. And then subscribe, iTunes, and Google Play. Let's dive into it. So this is the first time we have seen Brian Gutekunst and Mike McCarthy meet with the media since the kind of exit interviews for Gutekunst, his opening interview. It is sort of the deep dive of what's ahead with the NFL new year starting in about less than 2 weeks. I think it starts on the 14th. So we should have some decisions about Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. Not necessarily it happens right before the season. We've seen guys get released, like Mike Glennon's done in Chicago. Muhammad Wilkerson is done in New York. David Bakhtiari already is trying to recruit him to the Packers. Matt Forte retiring. I just read as we started taping that Frank Gore is done in Indianapolis. So a lot of these veterans are getting let go. It's that time of year. That's sort of the time of the year. Packers, you know, make Gutekunst comment about sort of his approach to free agency. He says, we'd like to be aggressive. We'd want to be in every conversation, but that doesn't mean that we'll sign every player we talk to. So I think there's a little bit of a difference there with Ted Thompson, because Ted Thompson said, well, we'd look at every guy, but he really never said we'd talk. Like we'd actually bring him to Green Bay. We'd actually get him in there, see if that fits, see if that makes sense for us, and go forward. Also, there was a comment from McCarthy about how the coaches will be involved more with the decision-making process about free agents, and McCarthy says that is a new thing. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think McCarthy will be driving it. I think that's a narrative fans are going to be developing, because if they're one like bad free agent, it'll be like, well, this is all McCarthy's fault, because heaven forbid Mike McCarthy does anything right in some Packer fans. But yes, that is definitely different. So it seems like it'll be a more collaborative effort instead of just one guy running the show. I think Gutekunst wants opinions of what's going on. And I like that. I like that idea a lot. I think that's a very good, and another good comment about free agency. Our big thing is we have to be exceptionally prepared to pull the trigger if we feel the right opportunity presents itself. So that, I think that's, I wonder if that's a comment just based off of, you know, past experiences with the Packers where they were close on a guy and there was just way too much indecisiveness about, well, are you sure? Do we really want to spend the money? This is a lot of money for a cornerback, or, you know, and he's like, no, fuck this. We need to spend the money and just go and just do it. And we'll worry about the consequences later. Now, it's a little fast and loose, but I think what they're trying to get at makes a ton of sense. So I love that from Gunnkust as well. And those were kind of, I think, really where Gunnkust, you know, the reactions and where you can base some stuff off of is just his free agency thoughts and where him and McCarthy both would like to keep Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. Clay Matthews got brought up into that mix, which I thought was interesting. Like, I don't know really why. I mean, do people forget Clay Matthews had an awesome season? Like, I know that, like, maybe numbers-wise he didn't, but if you look at any of the tape, I hate to sound like one of these douchebags, but if you look at any of the tape, like, Clay Matthews was actually balling. Like, he got to the quarterback. He was doing old Clay Matthews shit, which was unseen for a while, and Clay kind of looked like he was back, and I think the only reason you'd let Clay go is if Mike Patton goes, I don't think we have a use for him in my new defense. And if that's the case, fine. But I would be very surprised if Clay – I don't understand why Clay was looped in. McCarthy obviously said he wanted to keep all three. You know, that's not a surprise. That's very, very much coach speak from Mike McCarthy. I think we all – I think everyone would want to keep all three, but I think he understands that – it's difficult. It's business. And so, yes, that was an interesting takeaway. It was kind of more of an, you think, like, of course you want to keep these guys. No question about it. But Ty Montgomery, he says it's still going to be a running back. I thought that was an interesting one. I don't really see him as a wide receiver. I know Rob DeMasi suggested it. I wrote Snow Tablet Blue Guy's website a few weeks ago about how, kind of refuting Dombrowski, about how it would take him at least a year to get his body like back, and he would need to lean himself out, especially in his thighs and glute area, and it just wouldn't make sense with a guy who's on his rookie deal, whose rookie deal's up after this year. Now, I do think McCarthy can be more creative with Montgomery and three running back stable. That's, I think, the real worry. If you want to say something about, like, why wouldn't Montgomery go to receiver, it's just that I'm unsure McCarthy understands how to work with three receivers. He has trouble with running the football as is with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And with guys like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, the Packers, I think, really do need to have a running game, because I think it's good enough. Like, I think they can have a really good running game. I think it's part of the reason why the Packers could be very successful next season is because they do have a dynamic, balanced attack. Obviously, it is more pass heavy, but they have a running game that I think they haven't had in a few years. And maybe the first really, like, 1-2 punch in the entire Rodgers era, which is fantastic. Other notables from McCarthy, he talked about how he's sick and tired of the defense being the stepchild. He wants this it's a team game, great defense to win championships. He wants defenses to have that attitude. And that, if you've seen anything that Mike Daniels has been talking about, NFL Network, Clinton Dix kind of said it, there's been a lot of Packer defenders making the national rounds, and I think the collective attitude is we have to be more assholes. We have to be more aggressive. And I would imagine Pettine brings that sort of swagger attitude towards the table. And I think it's infected kind of everybody, which is good. It's a good start. And I think the Packers need to have more of that. You know, you need to be meaner and need to be a little more aggressive and set the tone more often than not. And I think that was a problem with a lot of the Packer defenses in the last few years. It's interesting to hear that McCarthy is kind of fed up with things. That I'm not saying it's a shot at Dom Capers, but it definitely seems like that to me is like, yeah, I screwed up. I shouldn't have let Dom stay on staff for so long, and we made a mistake there. We'll see if any other ridiculous comes out of the combine for the next few days. Moving forward to the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks suffered another tough loss. They lose to the Pistons 110-87. The Pistons, I think, in this week of games was sort of the forgotten one because they are out of the playoffs. The other teams the Bucks are playing in this stretch are playoff teams. And it was a back-to-back, and Indiana sort of the focus, and it seemed like the Bucks were ready to play Indiana today instead of, or on Wednesday, instead of playing Detroit in that game, because they got absolutely smoked. Offensive rebounds were, it was terrible. They were getting just absolutely abused on the offensive glass. Andre Drummond again had his way with the Milwaukee Bucks, and it was just a loss that I think frustrates a lot of fans, because they know that every game is crucial. They just lost two straight. You have to bounce back, and then instead you lose again, and now you've put yourself in a hole where you're going into a three-game stretch of Indiana, Indiana, and Philadelphia, Indiana sandwich. I don't know what that would be. What would be an Indiana sandwich? Is that like a steak sandwich? Is it a shrimp cocktail? And Indiana's the shrimp and Philly's the cocktail sauce. What would that be? Let me know on that. And then you get Houston on Wednesday night. So not only do you have these three tough games, you also add Houston, the best team in basketball, who's on a 14-game winning streak, mind you, at this point. Now it could change by the time they meet Milwaukee in 6 days. But so that's not great. And then, yeah, by Friday, the schedule does lighten up a little bit for a few days and allows maybe for you to get those wins back. But Jesus Christ, this is not good. You're leaving little margin for error, and now the Bucks are kind of backs against the wall now. We've seen the Bucks a couple times this year. When they're backs against the wall, they don't tend to wilt. They actually tend to come out with big games. The Indiana-Milwaukee sort of rivalry this year has been weird across the board. Milwaukee blew them out in the BC. Indiana blew them out in the, I don't even know, is that Bankers Life Fieldhouse? I don't bet it's not Bankers Life anymore. But they blew them out in Indiana. So we'll see what happens on Friday. We'll talk more about that game in itself tomorrow. Tomorrow's Daily Tap, so look forward to that. But yes, I know some people are mad at Joe Prunty, and people are mad that, you know, Giannis has been. I think Giannis is getting more. There are people that are being more physical with Giannis. Prunty mentioned that, but I agree, and I think Giannis needs to attack more. I think he needs to use more of a drop step and less of a fadeaway, and he needs to just go straight to the lane and get fouled, and really deal with it. I just don't know if he wants to absorb contact night in, night out, quarter by quarter, if his knees are just bothering him, and so he's shooting the ball a little bit more. And I think there needs to be a, hey, trust your bread and butter. Like, attack, 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 and then that jumper will come to you. Don't worry about it. It's nice to have, but I think Giannis is kind of overusing it. I think he's trying to work on it through games, and I just think he needs to attack more. We'll see if the Bucks make a move on a buyout guy, by the way. Today, March 1st, you got to do it. Today's the deadline. The Bucks have let guys like Ersan Ilyasova, Marco Bellinelli go to Philly. They let Trevor Booker go to Indiana. So the Bucks, I think the Bucks kind of need to make a move. I don't know if you can use, you know, what they have right now as the team. We talked about this yesterday on Tabbing the Keg, so go back and listen to that as well. But they can't stay pat. I just don't think that's the right move. All right, finishing up. So if you listen to this past noon, maybe 1 o'clock, it could be really dated. This could be an extremely dated podcast, so maybe turn it off. It's what the timestamps are for. If you are going to turn it off because the Badgers have lost to Maryland, feel free, and we'll talk tomorrow about the week that is and all other things under the sun. But if they won, this will continue on, because what I guess I want to know is, do we think the Badgers can run the table in the Big Ten tournament and somehow win the automatic bid for the NCAA, throw the NCAA tournament on its axis, and just everything going to complete shit? I do like chaos. My Badger friends would be happy. That said, I don't necessarily want the weeks of stories as a Marquette fan, especially if Marquette doesn't make the tournament. That would be like the ultimate trump card. Like, we were 500 team and we still made the tournament. Like, we still found a way. And what's your excuse? It would be bad. Can't have it. Brad Davidson said it yesterday, where he's like, we think we can win the Big Ten tournament. And I don't think they can win the Big Ten tournament, but I do think they can beat Michigan State, if that makes sense. I think Wisconsin's good enough to beat one good team. So they have to play Maryland. Maryland is decent, but they've been kind of leaking water of the last few weeks. Maryland lost by 24 to Michigan last Saturday. Mark Turgeon's looking less and less comfortable, like that he may be fired at the end of the season. So Wisconsin could be in a situation where they just have to put out the Terps' misery on Thursday afternoon. That tip-off is in a few hours. And then you get Michigan State on Friday. You just played them. I think it's fresh. They know what they have to do to try to slow down Michigan State and try to find Ethan Happ better looks with the guys like Jaren Jackson and Miles Bridges in the middle, and that providing a problem for Wisconsin. And they could beat Michigan State. I'm just not sure they could beat another good team, another tournament team. You know, they'd have to beat really three tournament teams. If they were to happen to get Nebraska in the second round or in the semifinals, okay, then you have a little bit more of a chance. But if you get Michigan, that's very difficult. So then you get Michigan, and then you'd probably either get the Ohio State or Purdue. Again, very difficult. I think it's too big, too steep of a mountain for this Badgers team. I think they have improved. I think Greg Gard deserves a ton of credit for what he's done with this team, but I just can't see them beating three good teams in this tournament. It would take like a completely on its axis tournament where the Badgers were playing like a Northwestern or a Penn State in the final. And then maybe they have a chance, but we'll continue to talk about it as they continue to be a thing, to be a factor. So we'll chat again about that tomorrow. We'll also talk a little bit about the Bucks, what to watch for, and who knows what else may come for Daily Tap. So appreciate you guys as always. SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are a website, SnowtapWI. Subscribe, iTunes, and Google Play. We will talk tomorrow. Take care, Tappers. See ya.